Good morning, church. This is Chad for our midweek connection this Wednesday evening. I hope that this message finds you guys doing well. And as we always do, let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to sit before you and to hear your words. We thank you for your word, and we just thank you for how it's so real and so honest. And sometimes that hurts, and that's okay because we learn through that. And we just thank you for the truth that's in there. Lord, we know that your word is unfailing. It will always push us through. And we just ask that as we sit down with this tonight, that we are able to hear the message that you have for each one of us individually, and we just ask that you help us to carry this over to the rest of our week. I just thank you so much for the church opening this past week and allowing that to happen, and we just ask that you continue to help the numbers grow. Lord, we love you, and we thank you, and we ask this in Jesus' precious heavenly name. Amen. It was good to see everybody that came out this past Sunday. I hope that this coming Sunday we'll see more of you guys. I think it was a success. I feel like everything went well. Everybody did a great job, and it was great to be back in God's house again, hearing the music and the message. So I hope more of you guys come out, and I hope to see you guys because I miss you guys, and I really want to see you guys. So I hope that when you're healthy, when you feel safe and comfortable to do so, that you'll join us back at church on Sundays. Before we get started, there's always videos that I do, video one and video two. So go ahead and pause me right now before we get started. Listen to video one, and then we'll get started with the message tonight. Well, this evening I want to talk about lions. You know, lions, they're the king of beasts or the king of the jungle and occupy many spots in real fictional stories. One of the first famous lions in literature and then movies was probably the Cowardly Lion in The Wizard of Oz. In terms of lions that are there and we don't realize it, MGM Studios has a lion on it as its logo since 1917. Also in literature, there was C.S. Lewis's Aslan and The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. You know, growing up for me, the most famous lions were the Voltron lions, which were a main staple of my TV watching when I was a kid. You know, another famous lion from my growing up years was Lion-O from the TV show Thundercats. You know, and in fictional stories, the most famous lions are maybe perhaps the Disney's Lion King lions, Mufasa, Nala, Sarabi, Scar, and Simba. You know, lions, the logo and inspiration, it's a logo and an inspiration for the sports teams as well. You know, we have the Detroit Lions in football, you know, or perhaps the most famous sports team with a lion as the mascot. And yes, they are still a professional football team, even though they haven't won a championship since 1957. And that's kind of crazy since they had Barry Sanders playing for them in the 90s. But, you know, we'll go on with that. Lions, though, they're not just in fiction or sports teams, mascots, of course, but are real animals that live and hunt in our world. Sometimes they're hunted themselves. You know, in July of 2015, Cecil the lion, a male lion being studied by the University of Oxford, was killed by an American big game hunter, and the story was a big source of anger for many people while they were shocked that a lion was hunted. And of course, biblically, we have an infamous story about lions in the book of Daniel. I mention these things to ask the question, why are we so fascinated with lions? You know, God created lions to be these fierce killing machines. Their bodies, claws, teeth, eyesight, mannerisms make them a most potent hunter in the wild. And not only that, the mane of a male lion just looks so majestic, doesn't it? When we see a lion, we are fascinated, filled with curiosity and filled with this fear all at the same time. And in the book of 1 Peter, Peter shares with us how to live in an authentic relationship with God in many areas. And this passage that I want to look at, today has the image of a lion in the center of it. So let's begin by reading this passage. I'm going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 12. Starts out, he says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you a strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. Here at the end of 1 Peter 5, Peter's concluding his first letter with some, you know, very needed commands and advice about living in an authentic Christian life. And in verse 8, though, it starts out with Peter tells us to be alert and sober-minded. You know, sober-minded is just a way of saying, you know, being studious or sensible or logical, even under self-control. And as I was reading through this, I realized that Peter is speaking from personal experience. Peter is warning us of danger that he himself fell into. You know, if you guys can recall with me Luke 22:31-34, this is where Jesus and Peter have an exchange and says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." But he replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." See, Jesus told Peter he would fall into temptation and deny him. And what did Peter do? Well, we all know the story, right? He fell into temptation and denied Jesus. Peter knows full well that Christians face an enemy, and we need to be self-controlled. Matthew 26:38 says, Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." See, Jesus commanded Peter to keep watch. What did Peter do here? He fell asleep. See, Peter knows full well that Christians face an enemy and we need to be alert. So Peter identifies our enemy as the devil. The devil is the slander and the father of lies that is presented in Genesis as the tempter who tempted Adam and Eve. Satan is the author of countless counterfeits of God. Satan is the wielder of evil on this planet for a time. Satan is the accuser of God's people. And Peter warns us that our enemy, the devil, is prowling around us like a roaring lion. So I believe Peter gives us this mental picture of a lion hunting around us for a particular reason. The devil is hunting us. He's stalking us. He's roaring around us, causing fear and panic and on purpose. Believers are being hunted by the one who rebels against God. Believers are being stalked by the father of lies. They're being pursued by the one who wants to destroy us and destroy what Jesus has given. We're being tracked by the one who wants to steal our joy. And what are we supposed to do with this? Well, verse 9 tells us very plainly that we are to resist him, standing firm in the faith. But as we know throughout the Bible, that's the standard operating procedure when it comes to Satan for Christians to resist him. This isn't unique to Peter. This is what we all do. And Matthew 4:10 says, Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Matthew 16:23 has Jesus saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." 2 Corinthians 2:10-11 says, "Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there is anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not aware of his schemes." Okay, that last sentence there, it's a little scary. James 4:7, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." See, over and over again, the Christian approach defined for us by Jesus Christ, by Paul, by James, is to resist the devil and push him out of our lives. So I was thinking about that, and I came up with a question that maybe you all are asking too. How do we do that? How are we supposed to do that? See, both James and Peter, they command us to resist the devil, but neither of them tells us how in a specific manner to do that. And as I was reading over this, it kind of hit me. Peter describes for us in our original passage that Satan is like a prowling, that he's prowling around like a lion. Satan acts like a lion. Well, how do you hunt a lion? How do you kill a lion? Well, of course, you know, when we want to know these things, you get on the internet and study Wikipedia. I'm joking. Please never do that. But Wikipedia did have some interesting info on this matter. Apparently, there are three basic ways to hunt a lion. First, there's an approach called spot and stalk. This method is typically employed by sport hunters with the assistance of a professional hunter and at least one native tracker. A walk and stalk is another name for it. A walk and stalk is very action-packed when the encounter occurs. Lions are very unpredictable, nimble, and fast, meaning that if it was not killed in the first shot, it can be very vindictive. If wounded, a lion can lie in wait and potentially charge the hunter, targeting just one person in the hunting party with the intent to kill. So what does that mean? That means that a hunter should identify the lion in the wild and must kill the lion with one shot from a large caliber gun. Be very watchful, and then kill with one shot. There's a second approach. It's called baiting. This common method involves the hunter lying in ambush from a constructed blind about 30 to 50 yards off from a bait, usually a tasty carcass of some kind, after hanging or fastening the carcass to a tree in a likely area. The bait is then checked every day until there's evidence of a hungry lion present in the area. The blind is built on the ground or in a tree nearby where the hunter will lie in wait, usually in early mornings to mid-afternoon. The third approach is called hounding, which seems to be one of the more popular ways in the centuries past. Throughout history, all manners of hounds, terriers, and other dogs have been used by human beings in the pursuit of lions. There are paintings and etchings of hunters using dogs to hunt lions in Africa and the Middle East. And this method of lion hunting involves the hunter releasing a pack of dogs bred for this purpose in an area known for high levels of lion activity. A hunter finds, tracks, and then releases the dogs. The pack of dogs will collectively track the lion and then hold the lion at bay until the hunter can close the distance and dispatch the lion at close range while the lion is distracted by the dogs. So, how does any of that I just said answer my question on how to resist Satan? Peter commands us to remember to be alert and sober-minded or self-controlled in verse 8. Resist Satan and stand firm in the faith in verse 9. And all of these four commands, so there's two commands in each, in verses 8 and 9 are connected together for believers in Jesus Christ. Among those commands mentioned, the phrase that caught my eye the most, as I stated before, was resisting Satan in verse 9. So how do we do that? Seems to me that Peter gives us the word picture of Satan being a roaring, prowling lion for a reason. The same three ways that people hunt lions can be the same three ways that we as believers in Jesus resist Satan and make him run and hide. So first, there's an approach of resisting Satan called spot and stalk. In a lion hunt, this is the technique where the hunter basically watches carefully and once finding the lion, brings the biggest gun possible to kill the lion in one shot. One shot must kill because the lion is so dangerous that to attempt to shoot the lion with a smaller type gun would lead to a wounded lion that would attack. So resisting Satan, it's no different. We must resist Satan with all that we have once we spot him. If we give Satan one inch in our lives, then we have invited him in to wreak havoc. His lies will fester. His half-truths will nip at our faith. That is why Ephesians 4:27 warns us to not give the devil a foothold. When dealing with resisting Satan, we must resist him completely, and when faced with sin, we must get rid of the temptation with one shot. We must resist Satan fully and with a complete one-shot, one-kill approach in our lives. We must bring all of our Bible knowledge, spiritual willingness, and prayer life to bear when Satan comes prowling around us. We must get rid of him in one shot or suffer the consequences of only wounding him and keeping him around. If you guys recall the second approach, it was called baiting. And the second approach of resisting Satan, called baiting. What is that? That's the one where the hunter is high in a tree or in a constructed hunting blind. The hunter is upwind with a barrier. Basically, this is the technique of hunting a lion from the safety of a blind in order to be safe and successful. So to resist Satan this way, you first have to have a blind. You must have a safe place to be while resisting Satan. And what is the safest place you could possibly be to resist Satan? Is there a place where you could gather and be safe from Satan? Although there may be more than one place for you like this, for me, it's the church. The church is that place. If you try and resist Satan without church, you're exposed to the spiritual hunter. Hebrews 10:23-25 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So coming to church and worshiping, it fills up your spiritual tank and allows you to endure. Coming to church and serving pours out to others and exercises your own gifts. Coming to church and digging deep into God's word, it adds those bullets to your spiritual magazine, if you will. Coming to church and fellowshipping with other believers gives you strength. Coming to church and participating spiritually with other people creates a safe barrier between you and Satan. Finally, the third approach to resisting Satan, it's called hounding. And hounding is basically the one where making sure you're not alone while hunting a lion. Hounding is having backup. Hounding means that when the lion comes around, the hunter is not alone and can keep the lion at bay. So to resist Satan in this way means that you have surrounded yourself with believers in Jesus who will pray for you, study with you, worship with you, and also keep you accountable. Fellow Jesus followers are the hounds surrounding you. It is quite easy to become a lone ranger Christian and think that you can be a believer all by yourself. It is incredibly difficult for us to open ourselves up to other people and answer the question, how is your relationship with God? See, most of us resist that question. We feel like it's a private question that no one should ask another. We could not be more wrong in that. Having a group of people around us who support us in our relationship with God resists Satan more than anything else we could possibly do. 1 Corinthians 12:22 says simply, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Ephesians 4:1-2 says, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Ephesians 5:19-21 commands us to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Hebrews 3:13, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Finally, 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble." Guys, the Bible has so many verses about this, it's not something that we could possibly or should possibly ignore. We need to hear that, and we need to use this as one of our ways to resist Satan. So in closing, remember the first lion that I mentioned this evening, with the cowardly lion from The Wizard of Oz? It's important to realize that Satan is not that kind of lion. Satan is the furthest thing from a cowardly lion that we can get. Peter says Satan is a lion prowling around us and roaring. Satan lurks around at the most opportune time to tempt us. His eyesight is keen on finding our weaknesses. His claws can dig in right where it hurts the most. His teeth strike fear in us. His technique is hunting, and hunting is effective and can be deadly. So remember what Peter teaches us in our primary verse for today. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Resist him by being watchful and completely getting rid of temptations in one shot. Resist him by being actively involved in church. And resist him by surrounding yourself with fellow believers you are accountable to. Guys, we may be fooled to think that we can get away with only doing one of these, but I think in order to best resist Satan, we need to do all three. Let's end in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you for all the wisdom that is in there. And I just ask that you help us to take these words and to further them today so that we can further your kingdom. We just ask that you continue to watch over us. Continue to bring us back to church as your will desires. We just love you and we thank you. We ask all this in Jesus' precious heavenly name. Amen. As always, guys, we end with a song. So go ahead at the end of this and hit video link 2. Listen to the song. And I really hope to see you guys in church this Sunday. Miss you guys.
Thank you for listening. We are meeting again on Sunday for one service at 10 a.m. and following the recommended social distancing protocol. Our midweek services are still online only. Stay safe and have a great week.